As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
What's up, everybody? It's Bo here, and this is the final episode of my, oh my gosh, Avatar is actually good. We've got the last two episodes of the series to cover, and instead of doing one on one or one by one, I want to actually just kind of merge these two together in the way that I talk about them. For a couple of reasons, but not the least of which is that it's kind of like a two-part finale. A lot of things happen, and they're all blended together, and much like the finale of the anime, a lot of new things are introduced here at the very tail end. And it works, but it's a little rushed. Again, not totally surprising all things considered, but hey, let's jump into it. Episodes 7 and 8, The North and Legends. As an attack on the Northern Water Tribe looms, Katara challenges a master waterbender, Sokka meets a beautiful princess, and Aang comes face to face with Avatar Kurik and takes his words to heart. Meanwhile, Zhao leads the Fire Nation into the North with a bold plan to weaken the Water Tribe, and the battle takes a dark turn as Aang enters a powerful state. So the first thing I got to mention is the bending looks incredible. The battles, I thought, were really, really well done. And we have come so very far. And I think the one thing that is true of this series, and I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's not vibing with you or whatever the situation is. Some of y'all act like y'all didn't see the Avatar movie, and it shows. Okay, like the evolution that we've gotten of a live action interpretation of Avatar has come leaps and bounds. And nowhere is this probably more evident than in the way that bending is actually portrayed. The special effects are absolutely incredible. A lot of standout fights, but the Katara versus Zuko, water versus fire battle, absolutely incredible. When the Aang gang flies over and takes out the ship in this epic beginning of the final episode, outstanding. And I guess just overall throughout, just the bending has looked really, really great. One of the things I really appreciate about this series is because it comes out after a lot of the expanded lore and the expanded universe has been laid out, and because the series has been completed, they've been able to take elements that the anime didn't have and bring them into the story without it feeling too much like a retcon or anything like that. Case in point, Kurik. Kurik is an avatar that I know practically nothing about. I realize that this is a character that has been expanded upon in comic books and novels, but in terms of the anime, both in Last Airbender as well as Legends of Korra, we just don't see much about him. Like, he gets like a brief mention here, he might pop up for 5 seconds, but this entire backstory we get with him being connected to the spirit world, not only is this great because it helps to set up what Aang is going to eventually be challenged with, but there's also a little bit of foreshadowing about the next waterbender and what she's going to have to deal with her deep connections to the spirit world and making some extremely controversial decisions. No avatar in their lifespan is without their controversy, and Korra's very much and very heavily deals with her decisions as it relates to the spirit world. Fascinating to see that was similar with Kurik. Zhao goes full on coup as he decides that he is going to be the new Fire Lord after becoming the Moon Slayer, and the absolute hubris of this individual. Again, because you may or may not know what happens to him post-mortem, I don't know. It just feels very warranted. The grandiose nature that he sees himself, like he's telling his own legend. He's becoming obsessed with this larger than life vision of who he will become, it drives him to borderline madness. And I mean, like, at all fairness, he's sitting there like holding kind of a literal demigod in his hands, ready to slay the thing. So I don't know, perhaps some of that's warranted. Katara going up against the waterbending master of the North and also challenging the status quo, pushing things forward so that women can do more than just heal, but actually enter into the battle. Ultimately, she wins the day by using some of the waterbending techniques that he's never seen before because she actually developed them from learning from watching the earthbenders, kind of showing that an isolationist mentality always limits your ability to grow. And that seems to be what's been happening in the North broadly. But at the same time, they've got some fresh new leadership in the form of this beautiful princess who has eyes only for Sokka and becomes that first girlfriend with a bright future ahead of her. It's bright like the moon, like because the moon's bright. Get it? Okay, sorry. Enjoy the chemistry between the two characters, but obviously, you know, I'm more of a Sakatsuki fan if I'm going to be in the ship category at all. And to call this romance rushed would be kind of, I don't know, just intellectually dishonest, given the fact that the Suki-Sokka relationship only lasted one episode, and this lasted two episodes, and all other relationships have happened off screen, so technically this is the longest relationship that Sokka's been a part of. I like how Zuko came face to face with the truth, that he's been on this impossible quest this entire time, not as any real way of getting back to his dad, but like to torture him and to be just another pawn in his father's schemes. We see that his father is that true narcissist, especially the narcissist parent who plays the children off of each other because he sees them as an extension of himself. But of course, the big climax of this entire thing is Avatar Aang becoming this kind of kaiju of an ocean spirit to go out and destroy the Fire Nation in the big battle sequence, right? And what's interesting is that there is growth in Aang and that he's accepting this role of being the Avatar. He, you know, if we look at what his arc has been all season, he learns of the fact that he is going to be the Avatar and he has to go out and he's got to train, he's got to do all the stuff, and he doesn't want to. He wants to be a kid. He wants to be an airbender and be cool and groovy with all the other airbenders. Chill out and ride some sky bison and all that kind of good stuff. But no, he's got to go out and go on this journey, but then boom, gets frozen in the ice, 100 years passes, everything is terrible, and suddenly he has to jump from this new journey of self-discovery of which he has just only started into the role of messianic savior of the entire world. And so this series really focuses on Aang, less about expanding his bending ability and really more about him accepting the role of Avatar by communing with the others that have come before, learning from their wisdom and experience, and leaning into what that role is. But at the same time, his journey is far from over. He has yet to determine what it means for him to be an Avatar, for Aang to be an Avatar. It's like he understands what it means to be the Avatar, but he still hasn't understood what it means for Aang to truly take ownership of that role as opposed to the role taking ownership of him. It's embodied in the fact that the spirit literally gives himself over to the spirit, sacrifices himself so that the spirit can kind of come in and do all the work. And all things considered, I mean, it's a, you know, literally a universe saving move. So I'm not judging him for it. I'm just saying that he's got further to go to become who he truly needs to be. And I think that fits with this series overall. So if you've checked out the other videos, if you've been involved in the comments, you know, I get involved in the comments and I actually see and read all of those. And so I'm aware that this series has been a mixed bag amongst fans. There are those that feel it's way too exposition heavy, and I think that's a fair criticism. There are those that think that the acting isn't right, and I would push back to that heavily. I think that most of these characters are very well cast. And I would argue that for a lot of the over-criticism of this not being the quote-unquote Game of Thrones that a lot of people seem to have wanted, y'all, it's a kid's show. Like, it's a kid's show with young actors. Even Game of Thrones aged up its youngest characters so that they could get older actors to portray them because they were dealing with heavier concepts. This show, I think, does a fantastic job of remaining true to the spirit of it being a kid's show, but certainly bringing it up a notch. Like, there's some brutal scenes in this. There's a lot of, you know, people on fire that's, ouch. And while a lot of my reviews have gotten, you know, a couple thousand people checking them out, which is great, thank y'all so much for that. Prior to the season coming out, I did two videos on setting the expectations going into the series, which, by the way, nobody has really watched or checked out. So I'm going to attach those at the end of this video because I feel like it will help you understand the way in which I stepped into watching this series. And I think that it provides a better framework of going in, recognizing what this is. A lot of these actors are children, and they're going to grow into the roles that they have if given the opportunity. And thankfully, sounds like the series has been picked up not just for season 2, but also for season three. And I have no doubt that the seeds that have been planted here in the talent of these young actors is going to continue to grow and blossom throughout these seasons. So is there some clunky dialogue? Is there some rough acting here and there? Absolutely. I'm not going to say that there's not. But I also recognize that we're dealing with performers who are very new to their craft. And so I give them a lot of grace. And I think that you should too. I'm excited to see how they grow and where they go with the characters and with the series overall. And my final thought to those that have watched this series and have not enjoyed it, because it's not as good as the anime, don't let great be the enemy of good. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the source material more than an adaptation. Case in point, my daughter is obsessed with the Harry Potter books and has her wild critiques about the movies, but still enjoys the movies for what they are. Captain America: Civil War, fantastic film, very much enjoyed it. Is the comic book that it's based off of far superior? Absolutely. These two things can exist together. And I think that if you go into these things with the appropriate expectations, you can enjoy them for exactly what they are. But anyway, that's been season one. Can't wait to hear y'all's thoughts. Head over to the comments. Let's talk about it. Let me know what you liked, what you didn't like, what you're excited for season two, what you hope maybe changes, and what changes do you hope they continue on? Put it in the comments. Let's talk about it.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.